It's A Couple Cooks, the podcast with Sonia and Alex Overheiser. We're a couple on a mission to find the tastiest good-for-you eats you can make in your kitchen, because the way we eat can make a meaningful difference.
Join us as we chase after real good food through stories, recipes, and conversations about cooking at home and eating well. Welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast. This is Alex.
And this is Sonia.
And we're glad you're here.
We started this podcast to inspire you to get in your kitchen. So we hope it's working.
Hope you enjoyed our last episode on hangriness. And if you're in Indianapolis, you better watch out. If you're on the Monon Trail, you might just run into Sonia in a microphone and be forced to be on this podcast.
It was such a blast to talk to some random people out in Broad Ripple here in Indianapolis about whether they knew what hangry was. And if so, what they did when they were hangry. We had some great answers, anything from grilling up a Juicy Lucy to eating some peanut butter. We had some great answers on what people thought hangry meant. And if you don't know what hangry means, make sure to check out that podcast.
And we devoted the entire month of August to recipes for hangry people over on our website, acouplecooks.com. So head over there for all of our latest recipes that can cook quick when you're needing food fast.
Now on to today's show, which is less about fast food and more about delicious food. Today we are talking about comfort food and how you can make your comfort food healthy and whole food worthy.
Wait, how do you define comfort food?
That's a good question. I guess I would say comfort food is something that has a lot of cheese on it. What would you define comfort food as, Alex?
Any food that makes me sentimental and happy. So it doesn't have to be bad for you. It just has to give you that warm and cozy feeling.
Right. Like I would say a cheesy casserole.
Or ice cream.
Or pizza. Or French fries.
Ooh, French fries.
For me, this is kind of ridiculous, but for me, it's cereal. Like, I just feel so happy when I eat a bowl of cereal. And we don't really eat much cereal anymore since we try to keep most of our stuff homemade. So it's a treat for me when I get to eat cereal.
And I know one of our most devoted podcast listeners just shared a recipe for us for his favorite type of cereal he created himself. It was making some Pop-Tarts and then putting them in the freezer so they cool off and then adding your milk to it so that you get all that toasty Pop-Tart flavor without it making your milk warm.
Oh my goodness. That sounds like the ultimate comfort food right about there.
But we are talking about some of our healthier takes on classic comfort foods today. So what do we have?
All right. Well, today I wanted to share a recipe for baked fries. And they are crispy oven-baked fries. So you just take potatoes and chop them up into French fries, which is actually very fun if you've never done it before. And mix them with a little bit of olive oil, salt, and pepper, throw them in the oven. I think there's also some mustard powder on there. And throw them in a really hot oven, bake them probably about 30 minutes or so. And they come out really crispy and really delicious. To me, they taste every bit as good as a restaurant fry to me.
They're not really even bad for you at all. They're just potatoes, which are vegetables.
Right, which do contain nutrients. So yes, there are a lot of potato foods out there that aren't so good for you, but potatoes in their raw form are actually a nutritious food.
But let's just pretend we deep fried these potatoes, which we don't.
Okay.
What would Michael Pollan say about that?
WWMPS. I'm glad you asked, Alex, because I actually have a book here called Food Rules by Michael Pollan. If you haven't seen it, it's a real short book. And there are a bunch of just quick rules about eating. And his point in writing this book was just that it doesn't have to be rocket science. We don't have to read 1,000-page essays about how to eat. We can just use some very simple rules. A lot of them are conventional wisdom about how to eat food. And rule 39 here actually says, eat all the junk food you want as long as you cook it yourself.
Oh.
Yeah. So he says, there's nothing wrong with eating sweets, fried foods, pastries, even drinking a soda every now and then. But food manufacturers have made these treats so cheap and easy that we're eating them every day. So he says, instead, if you took all the time to peel and chop and create your own French fries, you wouldn't do it quite as much because it's a little bit more time consuming.
I like it. Now, I know there's some of the more productive listeners out there who could probably make themselves a whole cake every day and eat it. So that's probably not the best idea, but the concept is good.
Right. I like it. So what's our next comfort food?
Smoky mac and cheese with squash and spinach.
Yum. Mac and cheese. You know what?
Wait, Alex that, and that I... hits all of your comfort foods there. You got smoke, cheese, casserole-y thing.
Good point. You cut me off. I was going to say that Alex and I have been having a little bit of a contention about whether mac and cheese is a main dish or a side dish.
Duh.
We did a little survey of our friends. I think it's a main dish, personally. I grew up eating it as a main dish. Sure, it had Velveeta in it at the time. Now it has real cheese, but it was a main dish. I had a big plate of noodles.
At this moment, I'm asking Twitter what they have to say, so we'll see. I'm putting a little survey out there.
All right, so weigh in, please. Now, Alex, what is your opinion?
Obviously a side dish. There's just no question. There's no protein. There's not really any
cheese
vegetable matters
protein.
In it.
Cheese has protein. Cheese has protein.
It's a side dish that goes with your hot dog.
All right. Well, we would love to know from you if you think mac and cheese is a main or a side. So please weigh in, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, even our website, acouplecookspodcast.com. Click on this episode and tell us, is mac and cheese a main or a side? Okay, moving on.
So this smoky mac and cheese with squash and spinach has some cheese in it, but it actually gets a lot of its creaminess from squash, right?
Yes, this is true. And what type of squash do we have in there?
A butternut or buttercup.
All right, butternut or buttercup. I believe we did make it with a buttercup squash that I found at the farmer's market and was very intrigued by a new type of squash.
It's cuter.
It's cute and it's very tasty. So I'm sure you've seen recipes out there using squash in mac and cheese, but it has.
Are you sure?
Well, they're floating around the internet and it really brings a creaminess and a little bit of the sweetness to the mac and cheese. All right, last recipe is mocha almond fudge ice cream. Yes. So
we got our own fan club over here.
Some friends of ours asked one time if we could create a healthy version of, or a healthy homemade version of Jamocha almond fudge ice cream from Baskin Robbins. And we said, sure, we'll try. So I spent the next couple weeks making tons of different ice cream recipes. Unfortunately, I had to eat all of them. But what we ended up with, we did a dairy-free ice cream. We used coconut milk. So again, we're not dairy-free or vegan, but we know a lot of people who have allergies or who eat that way. And so we thought it would be fun to try making a creamy vegan ice cream with coconut milk.
And bonus, if you don't use traditional cream, you don't have to make a custard. And so it's just a lot easier.
It is. But I wouldn't call this recipe easy. Actually, it falls under the Michael Pollan. If you're going to go to all the trouble to make this recipe, you probably won't make it every day. It does involve some stirring, some heating, some churning. So there are several steps, but it uses some natural sweeteners. I believe there's some coconut sugar. Is that true, Alex?
There's agave syrup and coconut sugar.
Right. And I use the two just to get, because a liquid sweetener a lot of times is good for the texture in an ice cream. And then I toasted up some almonds, and there's also a chocolate tahini fudge stripe layer. And it is, I must say, it is my favorite dessert that I've ever made on our website. So it is so good. It's maybe you shouldn't make it actually, because you'll just want to eat it all the time.
But it's okay.
And I'm not sure if I mentioned, but the ice cream is flavored with coffee. So it is very delicious.
We have some late breaking news from Twitter.
All right.
It's bad news. So far, we have 3 votes, 2 for main dish, 1 for side dish.
Wait, that's good news.
Well, not for me.
No, I mean, for me, well, obviously. It shows I'm right. We should always ask Twitter when we have a disagreement.
I just don't understand. No wonder our nation is severely malnourished. They've been eating mac and cheese as a main course for all this time.
All right. Well, keep me posted on what we find here.
All right. This is science.
Well, those are all fun recipes. Again, Michael Pollan said that you can make them as much as you want, as long as you make them at home. So we will place the links to those recipes in our show notes. Now, we thought we'd do something fun today and give a call to an expert on comfort foods and healthier takes. Her name is Amanda Paugh. Her website is Heartbeat Kitchen, and she has been blogging over there, creating recipes that are healthy, whole food, and mainly gluten-free. So we thought we'd give her a ring.
Hello.
Hey, Amanda, Sonia and Alex.
Oh my gosh, this is the best phone call I could have expected to get today.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, we are on the A Couple Cooks podcast right now, and the theme of today's podcast is healthy whole food versions of comfort foods. So we thought we would give you a call because we know you have some great tips and versions of comfort foods on your website.
That does happen to be a favorite thing of mine and pretty much how my kitchen works. So I think this is going to be fun.
Awesome. So first of all, we were wondering, what types of comfort foods do you enjoy? Like, is it the greasy diner food? Is it like cheesy casseroles? Is it some kind of Minnesotan hot dish or something like that?
I do have one of those. But yeah, you know, I basically, a lot of my cooking is inspired from recipes that I grew up with, or just in general things in the Midwest, and like vegetables or fruits that are, you know, popular here or accessible here, and just turning them into like more plant-based. I'm not vegetarian, but I would say we eat vegetarian probably 85% of the time. And I really care where my meat comes from and the farmers that I know and things like that. But I think what I really love is when, even if you are eating meat, like the plate is balanced, you know, veg heavy, and then, but it's done beautifully. And the vegetables are what brings out kind of the best in the meat too, I feel like. So, that's one thing. And then also just healthier takes on dessert, that, you know, are gluten-free. I'm gluten-free, have been for 6 years, but I like to make desserts that, you know, don't stand out necessarily as gluten-free, like anybody would love to eat them. So those are kind of my larger areas. And then I also do a lot kind of with fermentation and preserving, which, you know, is historically in the Midwest something that you really need to do because of our long winters.
All right. So give us an example. What's maybe like a cheesy, savory, doesn't have to be cheesy, but more of a savory comfort food that you love. And then maybe one of a dessert comfort food that you love.
So one of the most popular recipes on my site is a skillet white chili dip. And instead of you, and so it's cheesy, but instead of using all cheese, I made, you know, half of that basically a white bean puree. And then it's got like salsa verde, and it's got chili peppers and mozzarella. And I think Monterey Jack too. But like, you know, there's vegetables in there too, and you can add like chicken if you'd like, you can keep it vegetarian, whatever. But it just really reminds me a lot of when we were growing up in like the Velveeta cheese dips that were sitting in a crock pot at every, you know, Christmas gathering. And this is just really like a different way of doing it that's also very comforting. So, and it literally, it's like gone at whenever I bring it anywhere. It's what people kind of gather around, because who doesn't love a hot cheesy dip? I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think I thought that Velveeta was a food group growing up.
That was, right?
definitely part of our everyday eating.
Yeah, I mean, it just, it totally was, and the crock pots and all that good stuff. And then something sweet, I've got a couple things, but I did this summer, I finally figured out how to recreate angel food cake. And it's actually grain-free too, but a gluten-free, grain-free angel food cake. And the memory is of me with my mom. That was kind of her favorite dessert that she always had, with fresh strawberries and whipped, you know, homemade whipped cream as soon as summertime came. So that's another fun one that I really enjoy. And it's kind of something that people don't expect, you know, like finally make a gluten-free angel food cake. So yeah.
Wow, I love that. I'm not a huge cake person, actually, but the two different types of cake I like are a flourless chocolate cake or an angel food cake. So that sounds right up my alley.
They're both good. Yes.
Kind of two opposites on the spectrum there.
Right. Super dense and super fluffy.
Yes.
You're an experienced baker with natural sweeteners and gluten-free flours. Can you tell me what are a couple pantry ingredients that fit those that you use more than once every 6 months?
That's a good question, because why do we buy those bags of flour, right, if they're just going to sit there?
Exactly.
So I love oat flour for a lot of my gluten-free baked goods, A, because it has a naturally sweeter and nuttier flavor, just because that's how oats taste. And it's also something that's super accessible and that you can make at home on your own with a food processor or a high-speed blender. So I find it
really... We actually do that all the time over here. Alex always laughs at me, but I love milling my own oat flour in our food processor.
Yeah, and... You know, I don't usually suggest people to use it alone in a recipe. I find that most of the time it works best when, you know, you need something that has a little more starch that can help hold things together. And that for me is tapioca starch. And that also is, you can find it at everywhere from Super Target to Whole Foods to your co-op in bulk bins. Like everywhere has that. And it's similar to cornstarch, but it helps to bind, you know, baked goods together. Okay. So, and also not very expensive. I think like a bag of Bob's Red Mill is maybe $4. So,
not bad.
Yeah. And then I also really like sorghum flour. And that's made from the sorghum grain. And I find it to be very versatile because it doesn't have as sweet of a flavor. So, you know, depending on what else is in the baked good, you might want those flavors to shine as well. And I also find that it has a good, it's not as gritty as maybe some of the rice flours are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So oat flour, sorghum flour, and tapioca starch.
Yeah.
All right.
And natural sweeteners. I really like maple syrup, just because it's a little more blank, of a flavor, you know, and depending on, again, what you're making, honey can infuse beautiful local flavors of like whatever type of, you know, honey it is. But, I feel like it's a little easier to work with also because it's has the runnier consistency, you know, depending on what honey you use, it can be super thick. Yeah. And then I like coconut sugar when it doesn't need to be like emulsified, cause it doesn't grind down that well. But in other things like cookies or, you know, some sorts of bars, it works really well too. I love the caramely flavor of coconut sugar.
Agree. All right. Yeah. So those are some good new ingredients, maybe to some of our listeners that they could start to try out in their pantry if they're looking for some gluten-free options or even some just natural sweeteners.
Yes.
Awesome. So speaking of naturally sweet gluten-free desserts, I tried one today and it was actually your recipe and ingredients that you compiled together and sent to my house. They are some really delicious scotcheroos and it's a product that you're now selling. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. So exciting for me. I'd always kind of wanted to have my own product, and this is actually called cake in a crate. And what I made, what I spent about 6 months developing, was this recipe for salty date caramel scotch rhubarbs. And if anybody is in the Midwest, you've probably had a scotch rhubarb or a Special K bar, but basically cereal based, peanut buttery, gooey with chocolate on top. Typically some suspect ingredients like syrup. Caro syrup, we're not having that. So these, like you said, this crate, and these are bars, but the crate comes with all of the ingredients you need to make this pan of beautiful bars. And so, for instance, you know, it does include, you make kind of like this date caramel, which is brown rice syrup and dates and the maple syrup, like we talked about, that gets mixed with peanut butter. But it's nice because you don't have to buy that $9 brown rice syrup that might sit in your pantry for like a year, you know, yeah, and instead exactly. The exact amount comes for you, and the sustainable packaging is actually super cute. So for gifting, I think it's pretty cool looking, and yeah, it's gluten-free, vegan, and naturally sweetened. And my whole goal, similarly to the rest of my cooking, is that everybody would just think that it's really, really delicious. It doesn't need to have a label necessarily, but it's helpful for like folks who are, it's an allergy, you know, to know those kinds of things. But I had such a fun time developing it, you know, based on my Midwest childhood, sneaking those bars constantly.
And I was actually going to say that's what I feel like is the most important thing about them, that they're delicious. I don't think anyone would know that they're healthy. And I think that if your family is not into healthy eating, you can just surprise them and they'll never know.
You can totally surprise them. And, you know, they're really great to bring to parties or gatherings, and because they do look familiar and they look delicious. You know, it's, you're not asking someone to eat a black bean brownie that has like also greens mixed into it. Like this is like good stuff. You know, this is, I try to describe it as a Reese's peanut butter cup Rice Krispie bar with really, really good dark chocolate on top. Like, it's the best of both worlds, in my opinion. And then
who
salt.
Can say no to that?
And I mean, who can say no?
All right. Well, great. We will put all the details about your healthy scotcheroo bars in the show notes, and we'll actually be giving away to one lucky listener, a free cake in a crate from Amanda. So make sure to listen to the end of the podcast.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Well, actually, that made me think of a parting question for you when you mentioned the black bean brownies with greens in it. Have you had any like healthy comfort food fail where you tried something and it was just really disgusting?
Oh, let's see. I haven't found a good zucchini lasagna recipe. I know those are super popular, like with the summer squash and using like the shaved zucchini noodles as the replacement for lasagna. And I can't get one to not be watery. And it just, to me, it just doesn't replace real lasagna, even like lasagna made with gluten-free noodles. You know, it's just not the same. You need the lasagna.
Yep. Gotta have the noodles. I agree with you there. Gotta have them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Amanda. This has been a blast, and we'll make sure to give you a call next time we have questions about comfort food.
My phone will be waiting for the same ring that came today.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I love our phone a friend option.
I love apps that let you play any sound effect.
Well, that is nice. So yeah, it sounds like there are so many different ways to make comfort foods a little bit healthier, be it adding a little more vegetables or adding some things that are a little bit more nutrient dense, or just eating them more occasionally and not worrying about making them super healthy.
For sure. I know one thing pretty much all doctors and nutritionists can agree on is that buying packaged sweetened foods is just not good for us. So even if you're using some sugar or some cheese and cooking at home, you don't have to be so scared of it.
Right. And one thing I know has worked for us and works for some other people is if you try to eat pretty well during the week and then use the weekend for your splurge time, that can help to kind of keep yourself focused so you're not hoping that you can eat ice cream every single day. Maybe trying to eat a little bit more nutrient-dense, veggie-filled during the week and then leaving the weekend for some fun eating adventures.
And one easy way to do that is just not to buy that junk food. Don't keep it in your pantry and you won't eat it.
Right. Instead, make some Jamocha almond fudge ice cream and some crispy roasted fries and have a fun Saturday night.
Enjoy every moment of it.
All right. So how's that Twitter poll coming, Alex?
Ooh, let's check in. Hold on. I love this. Live. Our podcast live isn't live.
Tweeting.
But our polling is. All right. The latest numbers. Oh, no. It's getting worse. We are now at 6 votes. 67% of people say it's a main dish.
Yes. Thank you, America / world.
Well, it's not the first time in the marriage I've been wrong.
Oh, the second time, right?
Something like that. Nobody's counting.
All right. Well, this has been so much fun today. We would love to hear if you have some recommendations for great recipes for healthier versions of comfort foods or just comfort food recipes that you love and eat occasionally. So if you want to let us know, that would be wonderful. You can reach us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at A Couple Cooks. Or you can go to our website, acouplecookspodcast.com, and click on the link to this episode.
On that page, there'll be a widget. And if you fill out the question, which will be, what is your favorite healthy take on comfort food? You can be entered to win a Cake in a Crate Scotch Roo box.
Sounds delicious. All right. Well, that's our episode for today. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to talking to you next time.